And now, your speaker, Jamie Brock.
The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him?" In Jeremiah chapter 38 and verse 10 it says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from the blood." These two verses speak expressly to a sin. To a sin that I'm sad to say is tearing the church limb from limb. That is the sin of neglect. The sin of negligence. The sin of non-preparation. A sin of inaction. A sin of disrespect. Choose whatever term you want to apply to it, but it's all the same. We're neglecting our duty as Christians sometimes. Neglect is defined as to pay little or no attention, to fail to heed, to disregard, to fail to care for or to attend to properly, to fail to do or to carry out as through carelessness or oversight. The Greek word used in the Hebrews scripture that we just read is malaiho. And it says to be careless of, or to make light of, to neglect or to be negligent, not to regard. So what are we talking about? We're talking about our duty as Christians. I'm not saying that Christians have a mean intent or intentionally go about to disregard their duties, to not do the work that's required of us. I think most Christians know their duties. We just simply neglect it or forget it. You recall in the book of Luke in chapter 16, that story that's related to us about the rich man and Lazarus? I think there's an example there for us. The rich man, it says, was clothed in purple and fine linen, that he fared sumptuously every day. A rich man. But then in contrast, we see the beggar Lazarus. And how? That Lazarus was brought to the rich man's gate, and that he was full of sores, and that all he wanted to do was eat from the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He was in such a state that the only comfort that he could get was when the dogs came and licked his sores. As things came on, it says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. But the rich man, he also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes. And being in torment, it said he saw Abraham afar off. And he cried out to Father Abraham and says, 'Have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames.'" But what did Abraham say? He said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." The point we're making here is this was a rich man. We notice it said that he fared sumptuously. He had the good things of life, but he neglected to use them for good, to use them as God would have him to use them. And we see this in his example. Lazarus wasn't some stranger that he never knew. They brought him to his gate. We know he knew him because in the latter part, he looks up out of torment and sees him comforted in Abraham's bosom, and he calls him by name and says, "Send Lazarus." So the rich man cannot claim that I never knew him and didn't have the opportunity to do good toward him. He knew him, and he had the opportunity, but he neglected. The result of that neglect is obvious. When he died and was buried and went into the Hadean realm, he was in torment and suffered. Now, many times it's easy for us as Christians to let someone who is not strong in the faith, another brother, let their sin be an excuse for us to neglect our duties. It's easy to look at others in the church and say, "Well, notice brother so-and-so over there. He doesn't do this activity, or he doesn't support this function. Well, if he can do that and he's okay, then I shouldn't have to do that. That's not acceptable. Another brother's weakness cannot give us the right nor the privilege to neglect our duties. It's easy also sometimes to have our feelings hurt, our feathers ruffled, someone do the wrong thing or not do the right thing. And because of that perceived insult or that perceived attack on our character, we want to say, well, I'm just not going to go to church. I'm just not going to attend services anymore. By doing that, we think we're hurting someone. And indeed, we are. But we're not hurting the one that we think has offended us. We're only hurting ourselves. We're taking vengeance on Christ and neglecting our duty to the church. In our study today, we want to let each and every one of us take a look at our own lives and consider the works that the church has put forth and the Bible has said that we ought to do. And notice the importance of doing those works and not just being a stagnant or a complacent Christian. Complacency, by definition, says that you become comfortable. You become inactive in a current state, not aware of the dangers that are about you. And sometimes I think that is the case, that we as Christians, we find this comfort zone. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, we're in that comfort zone, we think we're okay. But if that's where the extent of our dedication ends, then we indeed don't see the dangers around us. By neglecting our works, by neglecting our duties as Christians, we in effect kill our faith. If you'll turn over to the book of James in chapter 2, we'll be taking quite a few verses from there. I think this portion of Scripture speaks very well to the topic that we've chosen for today. In chapter 2 of the book of James, beginning at verse 17, the writer says, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou that believest there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O vain man, know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead." Faith without works is dead. What does that mean? If our faith is separated, it's separated from God when we don't do the works that we ought to do. And in this portion of Scripture, he goes on to talk about that I will show you my faith by my works. It's real easy for us to make the claim that I'm a faithful Christian, to claim the name of Christ. The writer says here that you can make your claim, but I'll show you my faith through my works. And that's the attitude that we ought to have as Christians, that our works indeed will be how people see and recognize our faith. When we neglect to do the works that we ought to, we're deceiving ourselves. We're fooling ourselves. We're in that comfort zone that we spoke of earlier. The book of James, back in the first chapter, in verses 23-27, it says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." What's he talking about? Well, I think Brother Colley made an analogy recently that explains it pretty well. When we get out of bed of a morning, we go and we look in the mirror. We're not shaven for the men. Our hair isn't kept. Our face isn't washed. Our teeth isn't brushed. Our clothes are all wrinkled. We still have on our pajamas. We turn from that mirror and we leave our house and go to our jobs and not do a single thing about it. Forget what we saw in the mirror. And now we apply that to our spiritual life. We come to the worship service and we hear our good teachers teaching us from God's holy and inspired words. We hear strong and faithful lessons from the pulpit. And we hear those things and we believe those things. We put them in our hearts. But then the minute we walk out that door, we forget them. We're a forgetful hearer. We are not a doer of the work. And that indeed is neglect. And this is addressed in Matthew 7, in verse 15 through 29, talking about this neglect being a killer of our faith. Jesus said that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but who? He that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And he goes on to say, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. What's he talking about? He's talking about that verbal claim we mentioned earlier, not doing the works. And we see the end result of that neglect. In the judgment day, Christ will say, I didn't know you. We'll say, but I did this, or I did that. But no, we didn't. And we will not be known in the end. Back in our first reading, the writer spoke of, and he says that, if you believe us that He is Christ, you do us well. Well, many people want to teach that that's really all that's required is that belief. All you have to do is believe. The buck stops there. But that's not the case. And he points that out when he mentions that even the devils believe. And we can see this in many instances. You remember in Matthew chapter 8, after Christ had finished the Sermon on the Mount and he went over into the city of Gergenes, he encountered two individuals there, possessed of demons. Notice in Matthew chapter 8 in verse 29 what it says. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Demons had possessed these individuals, but they knew Christ. They even confessed that He was the Son of God. Another example, in the synagogue, the city of Capernaum, he met a man possessed of an unclean spirit in Luke chapter 4. Verse 34, the Spirit said, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? And then notice, I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. Then also in the city of Thyatira, you remember the woman that was possessed there with the spirit of divination, followed Paul around? She was saying, and Paul, the same followed Paul and us, and cried out, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. So those that want to hold to the claim that all you have to do is just believe, I don't think it's enough. These are demons, these are devils, and even they knew and believed that Jesus was the Son of God. But now let's take an example. Abraham, in that same chapter of James that we've been looking at, chapter 2. Excuse me. We'll look down to verse 21 through 24, and it gives us a good example here of Abraham. It says, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by what works was faith made perfect? And the Scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. And then in verse 24 he says, you see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. What better example for these individuals here? Father Abraham, one of the biggest characters in the Jewish history. And his example to them was, all he did was believe what God said. Not what the Scripture tells us. It says that his works made his faith perfect. And let's look at the work that was requested of him. A sacrifice of his son, Isaac. God wanted him to take him up and make him a sacrifice unto God. And Abraham was willing. He was obedient unto that work. And we compare that to our lives and the works that are required of us. The things that we should be doing don't seem that significant. We aren't required to sacrifice our loved ones. We're only required to do the works that the New Testament tells us. Another example, just a couple verses lower in that chapter, on verse 25, talks about Rahab. and how she was an example, and how that by her works that she was justified. She protected those spies that were sent in at the risk of her very own life. Again, the works required of us don't seem so hard. I think we can safely say that there's not a one of us, when we got out of bed this morning and got ready to come to church, had the least bit of fear that our lives might be required for being here today. Now, when Rahab made the choice to do the works before her, she risked her life and all the lives of her household. Now, there are countries in our world today where we can't, if we were there, do this. Many of our men and women in uniform are over there now in Afghanistan, where Christianity is a sin, and you will be put to death for teaching it. So let's not be negligent or neglect our opportunities and our duties to worship our Lord. Then in the verse 26 of that same chapter, James chapter 2, he kind of puts a conclusion on this. It says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." A very plain, a very simple analogy that anyone can understand. When our spirit departs our body dies. When our works depart from our faith dies. And that is what happens when we neglect our duties as Christians. Now, what are some of the duties? What are some of the works that suffer from this type of neglect? Prayer. Prayer is one that comes to mind. Colossians 4 and verse 2 says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 14 says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, shall not humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear them from heaven and forgive them their sins and will heal their land." Philippians 4 and verse 6 also, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." 1 Thessalonians tells us to pray without ceasing. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 11 says that we pray always for you. An example for us that we are to pray for one another. Prayer and neglecting work? Sometimes I think so. We are such a richly blessed people that there should be no time in our lives when we aren't able to have something to pray for. If nothing else, we can pray and just offer up thanks that God cared for us and loved us enough that He would send Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. That in and of itself should indeed give us the incentive and the opportunity to pray without ceasing. Another area that is sometimes neglected is to read the Bible. Colossians 3 and 16 says that we should let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts. Why is reading the Bible important to us? Well, 1 Peter 2 and 2 says that we are babes in Christ and that we desire the sincere milk of the Word. For what reason? So that we may grow. You remember the Apostle Paul, he admonished Christians when they hadn't grown as they ought to. He says, when you ought to be partaking of meat instead of this milk, I'm having to come back and teach you the first principles again. Are we in that same condition? Are we suffering from that same neglect that we don't read our Bible? The Bible indeed is our spiritual food. Jesus Himself said that we shall not live by bread alone, but that by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're commanded to study the Bible, to read the Bible. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, study. Why? To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We don't study, as we spoke about in our Bible study class, we become ignorant. We don't know what we ought to do. Hosea 4 and 6 tells us that God says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, because they have rejected knowledge." And it says, "I will also reject thee." And as we spoke of also in our morning class, Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 says that we cannot direct our own steps. "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." Without the Bible, we cannot, by our own conscience, live acceptably before the Lord. Reading the Bible is indeed an important work that we should be faithful to and work not to neglect. Another area that's neglected is to assemble as a congregation. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 says that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. This indeed is an area that sometimes gets put on the back burner, an area that is neglected. We let the cares of this world take precedence over our service to the Lord. And it's not like that we're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We only come Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, and Wednesday nights. And if you think about it, that's not a lot of time to come and worship our Lord. Another area that sometimes gets neglected is our work towards those that are in need, our work towards our fellow man. This is spoken to also in James chapter 2, verses 14 through 16. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath work, faith and hath not works? Can faith save him?" Then in verse 15, "If a brother or a sister be naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you saying to him, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not the things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" If we know folks are in need, and we don't do anything to alleviate that need, what does it profit us? Not a thing. And we're not talking simply materially here, providing them with the food or the clothes that they're missing. We're talking about emotionally, visiting them when they're down and when they're out, when they're suffering trials and troubles. We've had times in our lives where just a simple phone call or a simple email have lifted us in our moments of despair. We also neglect our fellow man spiritually when we fail to follow the Great Commission given to us in Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, when he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." If we are not out evangelizing the world, we're neglecting our fellow man. We're letting those that need the truth go away without having it presented unto them. We neglect our fellow man when we fail to restore the weak. When we have a brother or a sister that stumbles and falls, and we don't help them along the way, we're neglecting our duty to them. Galatians 6 and 1 says that if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye that are spiritual should restore him. We also neglect our duties toward our fellow man when we fail to discipline the ungodly. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 14 says to warn them that are unruly. 2 Thessalonians 3 and 6 says that we are to withdraw ourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. Is it a hard thing to do? Yes, it is. Is it a necessary thing to do? Yes, it is. We cannot let, just as Paul taught the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, we cannot let sin live within the church and not be addressed and corrected. Another area sometimes that is neglected is the control of our tongue, the control of what we say. James chapter 3 and verses 5 through 12 addresses this. It says, "The tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. But how, behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." And it goes on to say that it is an unruly and evil and full of deadly poison. It makes the analogy that if we bless God and curse men out of the same mouth with the same tongue, that it ought not be so, just as a fountain cannot give sweet water and bitter water. Sometimes we neglect to think before we speak. Sometimes words, just as we spoke of before, can be so uplifting and so encouraging, they can also be so destroying and so hurtful. We cannot neglect to control our tongues. But all this can be wrapped up in one thing that we ought not to neglect. That is to imitate Jesus. 1 Peter 2 and 21 says that Christ suffered for us and left for us an example that we should follow in His footsteps. And if we follow Christ, if we pattern our lives after Christ and imitate Him, then we indeed will not neglect our duties. We've talked a lot today about neglect, and we've focused mainly on the neglect of the Christian and the neglect of our duties. The consequences of these neglects are obvious, is that we disinherit ourselves from kinship with God. Be not mistaken. The deeds that we do in this life will follow us into eternity. Ecclesiastes 12 and 14 says that God shall bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 tells us that every man will appear before the judgment seat of Christ and receive things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. Works are important. Works are part of our service to the Lord, and we cannot neglect them, else we risk our very soul. It goes back to the principle that has been set forth since the beginning of time. You reap what you sow. Galatians 6 and verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever you reap, that shall he, or whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Let's talk a little bit about the sinner's neglect. The gospel is presented to you in simplicity and in truth. In order to become a child of God, to follow the plan of salvation, all you have to do is hear the word of God. Romans 10 and 17 tells us that our faith cometh by hearing, and that hearing by the word of God. Once we have heard that and we believed it, Hebrews 11 and 6 tells us that if we don't have that faith, it's impossible for us to please God. So we hear the word, we believe the word, then we are required to repent, to turn away from our sins. Acts 2 and 38, Peter told those there on the day of Pentecost to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sin. And we have to confess Christ as the Son of God, as instructed in Romans 10 and 19. And after we've done all that, it is our duty, it is our work, to walk faithfully and not neglect the duties of the Christian. I want to close by reading this one poem. For when you sow a seed of kindness and water it with care, shine warm rays of love, then soon you'll notice there a tiny sprout of friendship that'll grow some every day if you lovingly protect it and guard it along the way. From any weeds of jealousy or prickly thorns of spite, and provide a little shelter on cold and stormy nights. Then when harvest time has come, you'll reap what you have sown, a kind, caring, loving friend, just like the one they've known. As Christians, we too are sowing for the harvest yet to come, when we'll reap the consequences for all that we have done. If we are faithful in our sowing of obedience, trust, and love, then we'll reap eternal life and live with God above. But if we sow seeds of enmity and bitter discontent, then our harvest too will be bitter when our earthly days are spent.